Morning. If you'd like to follow along with the first scripture reading, it's on page 219 of the New Testament, the pew Bibles in front of you. This from the first letter of Peter. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading, the gospel reading, comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. It's John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. If you'd like to follow along, you can open your pew Bible to page 97. So hear these words of Jesus the Christ. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, I didn't really think of it till after Don and the choir did Psalm 23. But if you look at all three of the lectionary readings, that being the Psalm, the passage from 1 Peter, and then the John reading, you recognize that all of these have references to sheep and shepherds and gates and sheepfolds. A sheepfold is simply the place where sheep are kept, their pasture, if you will. But the reason that Jesus uses these metaphors is obviously because the folks who were listening to him understood sheep and shepherds and gates. And I think many of you do as well. It's an obvious metaphor for us. But as you think about these metaphors, you can't get past the understanding that the role of the sheep lies with us. We are the sheep. Now, many, many sermons have been preached about how we are the sheep, and quite frankly, you might be a little insulted by being compared to a sheep. So at least for this morning, let me ask you not to be insulted by our sheepishness. Let us not together allow John to pull the wool over our eyes. I couldn't pass that one up. It was too obvious. But when you think about that metaphor, you recognize that Jesus was trying to say something to the people. And what he was saying was boiled down to probably a very specific message. And that was that Jesus is the gate to abundant life. Jesus is the access, access point. He is the gateway that leads us to the abundant life. Now, when Jesus uses metaphors, he's really interested in bringing it in home to us in ways that we can understand. He is interested in confusing some people, if you can believe that, in the hopes that we work to understand what he meant. But in this case, what he meant is pretty obvious, and that is, as I just mentioned, that Jesus is the gate to abundant life. Well, when you think about that, that in itself, that small sentence could be the tip of a huge theologic iceberg. We could talk for hours about what he possibly meant. But today, I want you to think about abundant life. Some translations, depending upon what Bible you like to read, some translations will read that as the gate to eternal life. And eternal life for some people means that time after you die, when you go to the great by and by, that time when we will all be resurrected with Christ. But as you well know, my interpretation, and many of us who read the Bible, think about eternal life and abundant life as life right here and right now. It is both life after time and life right now. It is living in the kingdom of God that Christ has already introduced to us. So when you think about that, I want you to consider that metaphor as Jesus as the gate, and that whole idea of sheepfolds and pastures that were talked about in Psalm 23 and the other two readings. But I also want you to think about a more modern example of something that's probably very similar. I want you to think about gated communities. Now, I know that some of you have seen gated communities. I'm pretty sure that you have read about them. It's likely that perhaps some of you may live in a gated community. Well, by definition, a gated community is simply a number of homes that are surrounded by a fence. And usually that community has one access point or maybe a couple. And oftentimes there is a security guard who checks your name off a list, or else there's a little box where you put in your key card or you punch in a code, and voila, the gate opens and you gain access. Well, gated communities are also sometimes planned communities, built around a common interest of the people who live within. Sometimes there's a golf course inside the community. That's the dream of my brother-in-law, is to live on a golf course. Sometimes these planned communities are centered around retired folks. Sometimes they're centered around families with children. But it's probably a safe bet to say that if you live in a gated community, you're interested in safety. It often becomes a kind of us versus them mentality. We are the law-abiding citizens who live inside the gates, and those who are outside are the criminals or terrorists or the folks who want to sell us stuff. But there definitely is an inside and outside community feeling. And clearly, those who live in a gated community are very much interested in a safe environment. In fact, you could say that folks who live in these neighborhoods are looking for a safe and predictable and harmonious neighborhood. Well, when you consider this whole metaphor of sheepfolds and gates, when you think about a modern example of a gated community, I wonder what kind of connections you would make if you thought of those metaphors for the United Methodist Church. Think about it that way. We all pretty much recognize that in the church, the gate of entrance into the community is Jesus Christ. That's our common starting place. You might think about the code that you enter into the box or the security guard as your baptism, the sacrament that God has given to us. Because clearly, if you want to enter a church, you make a decision and you have to follow the rules to be part of that church. Well, I wonder if in this metaphor of church as gated community, how do we respond in the fellowship and the warmth that we feel in there? How do we respond when a goat tries to come into our community? As you're sitting there in the pews, Do we spend so much time thinking about the fences that are erected around our community, or are we open to other people coming in? If you consider folks coming in, if you're a Republican, how do you feel about Democrats coming in among your sheep? If you're a Democrat, where is the responsive welcome to the Republicans? How do you feel about a convicted felon in our midst? How would you feel if someday, unbeknownst to you, somebody who is gay or lesbian or transgender came in to join this sheepfold? How would you feel if somebody sat down next to you and in the course of the conversation admitted to you that he or she was HIV positive? It makes me wonder in this church of ours, in the United Methodist Church, if we don't spend so much time thinking about who ought to be ordained, about how much money we spend on conference buildings, on how much emphasis was placed on politics of the church, that we don't sometimes forget that we are a missionary people at the very core. If sometimes in our zeal to erect that fence, we forget our heritage as followers of John Wesley, if we don't recognize that in the Bible, it tells us that we are to be people who are sent out, it is our task to share the fellowship and love of Jesus Christ in real and tangible ways, and it is also our task to make more disciples of Jesus Christ. If you read the Bible, that's called the Great Commission. That is our mission, and that is our reason for existence as a church. Well, as you think about that, it makes me wonder if sometimes we have lost our way. So as a missionary people, we need to get back on track. Forgot my place here. This is the effort to move away from notes. So forgive me. As we think about that role of the Great Commission of going out into the community, how content are we to stay within this sheepfold? How content are we with our potlucks and our Sunday school and our Bible study? But how often do we recognize that we are called to go outside? Jesus is the gate that leads us into this fellowship, into the safety and security and comfort of this place. But a gate also leads outside. It leads the shepherd into the pasture, into the wilderness, into the open range, if you will, of the world. And we have to have the confidence to know that we can welcome people into our sheepfold, but also that we are called to move out into the secular wilderness, into the wider world of this community. And as we do that, it can be intimidating to think about going out into that wilderness. It can be scary to think about taking up that cross and being missionary people. And yet, just as Scripture always reminds us, Jesus the Christ is our shepherd who is always there out in the lead. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus is not promising us the American dream. He's not talking about prosperity. Jesus is calling us into a life of mission, a life that can be lived joyfully, openly, and by giving of ourselves. That's abundant life. And that's what Jesus promises each of us. So let us have the courage then to open the gate and follow our Lord out into the wider wilderness, because that truly is where Christianity takes place. Amen.